He knew that Lazarus would step forth before Lazarus did. And the question is, how did he know? I think you can come to the same conclusion. He knew that Christ's life is the life of God. He knew that he was Christ's life. He knew that Christ's life was the life of all men. The life of God, the Christ life in him, was the life of Lazarus. He realized it. So he, the Christ, said, Lazarus, come forth. And he, the same life, came forth. There were two forms, but only one life. The life that came forth was the life of Christ, which was also the life of Jesus and Lazarus. When you are meditating for that boy, that girl, that person, that situation, and you realize the life of God is the life of that individual, if you know that life is also your life, you've got two forms or 10 forms, but one life. And that's where the healing power is, in the one life. That's where the harmonies come from. That's where fulfillment comes from. The one life is already complete. It's already whole. There's nothing can be added to it. It includes infinity. And your meditation of the one life, recognizing I am the one life, he is the one life, or whatever you're meditating about, or that whole school is the one life. When you reach your realization of the one life, the qualities of the one life must come forth into view. You don't have to ask for those qualities. They are the nature of the one life. They must come forth. He knew Lazarus had to come forth. There was no death there, there was only life. But there was someone there to witness the truth, someone to know the truth. The truth of itself does not come forth into this world of manifestation without a witness. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. But who is this me? That me is the life of Christ in you. He that believeth in the life of Christ, the eternal life of Christ within yourself, though he were dead, yet shall he live. When you've got a living Christ within you, and you're aware of it, you are going to be the fulfillment of that simple prophecy. The deadness is the humanhood, yet shall he live, is that eternal life coming forth as Lazarus did, taking you out of the tomb of dying flesh. Our transition is involved with this demonstration. if you believe on me, the living Christ, which is the eternal life of God in you, though you were dead, though you were mortal, yet shall you live, you will be immortal. Because your immortality will overshadow your mortality. But you must supply the missing link, the knowledge of who you are. The fact that you have that opportunity to supply the missing link is a miracle. There's no one here who cannot achieve what Scripture is telling us. There might be some who say, well, I'm young, I'll do that later. I mean, I can't give up mortality now, it's too much fun. I think we'll find some scripture to cover that, too. It is true that we feel we want to live first. We call it living. There's so much to do, so much to see, so much to acquire, so much to share with people. So much laughter and happiness to have. But it's all tinsel compared to being eternal life. And as far as I can see, eternal life has laughter and happiness that lasts. Eternal life is perpetually young. I don't think that's a rationalization. I think it's a truth. I think it's worth giving consideration to the fact that if you were 6 years old and could understand the meanings that are in the Bible, it would be worthwhile to apply them instead of feeling that I'll wait. Because right now life is a ball. In fact, the Bible does say that he who tries to keep his life shall lose it, and he who loses his life shall keep it. And as far as I can interpret it, those words coming from Christ have to be true. They are spoken by one who knows. Well, that story I told you this morning about the couple living with their price tags and losing their daughter. There are millions of stories like that. It isn't necessary to be unhappy to be in the Christ message. In fact, you look at someone who's in it, truly in it, and you're seeing someone who wouldn't trade their place for anything in the world. Because they own the whole world. It's their universe. They don't even have to press a button. Everything just comes to them. As far as I can remember, Jesus Christ was quite advanced at the age of 12. I know a lot of things that he did without, but I guess that was made up for by the fact that he never died, he was never sick, he was never hungry, And most everybody in the universe who knew him loved him. That's a pretty good exchange. So I would say to those who feel that I'll get around to this, what's the delay? Why the delay? What do you think you have to give up? There's absolutely nothing to give up. Just a whole bunch of illusions. You're not giving anything up there. But of course, if a person wants to enjoy their illusions, there's nothing we can do. There's a Lazarus in each of us. A part of us that's dead. Waiting for us to say, Lazarus, come forth. Come on, wake up. I'm not a dying creature. I'm the Spirit of God, alive forever. And that part of us that is the dead Lazarus needn't remain that way very long. Once we become alerted to the fact that we can bring all of our being into the fullness of life, your days, tomorrow, and the next day were already finished in your eternal life. You don't have to be working toward being a success tomorrow. Whatever you're going to be tomorrow in humanhood is nothing compared to what you already are tomorrow in Christhood, in spirit. Every day is finished in Christ. You know, God isn't going to be better tomorrow, or something that God isn't today. Infinite nature of eternal life is that it is infinite in all tomorrows now. It's a hard distinction to catch. But you already exist in every tomorrow. And you are perfect in every tomorrow. And the knowledge of it accelerates your expression of that perfection. Now, this room is filled with only the life of God. And so I've been talking to an illusion all this time when I thought I was talking to someone who was not that life. And I apologize. But I'd like you to make the same correction with me. We are in a state of oneness, and that oneness is the life of the Father, eternal, perfect, present in every tomorrow, present in all the so-called yesterdays. And that great expanse of infinite life is the life of each of us. Something beautiful that Joel wrote. I just can't wait to get to. I think I'll skip around and go right to it because I want you to hear it. You'll find it on page 11 of Realization of Oneness. Many persons place their hopes and their fears in persons or things. Maybe in gold and silver, land or securities. Even in social security. When hope, ambition, and confidence are in something external, that is idolatry. All this disappears when we understand that the nature of God is the nature of individual being. And therefore, there is no need to want some particular person, thing, or circumstance, for we embody our good. Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. In the realization that God is our very own being, how can we fear, love, or hate gold or silver, germs, or poisons, bullets, or bombs? How can we be God's being, the essence, and still be subject to these things? The reason this is so important is because you have here a total confirmation that God's being is your being. And when someone says, I don't have time for it now, I'm young, when you don't have time for God, you've got a problem. God is your being. I thought you would be very interested in that. And if you want to read that again, it's on page 11. It's to those people who aren't quite sure that God is their being. Now you might say, well, how do I know that what happened to Lazarus is going to happen to me? He translated, he made a transition from being dead to being alive, but I don't know if I expect that to happen to me. And I think that's a legitimate question, a legitimate doubt. But Scripture has something to say about it. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Christ, whom thou hast sent. Now, there seems to be no doubt in this statement from the Christ that others are going to have the Lazarus experience. It very clearly said, as thou hast given me or him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as. That's not singular, that's plural. So the Lazarus experience is a prototype of the experience that all of us will undergo. Some earlier, some later, depending on whether we accept this as work we must do or something we want to put off for another 30 years. Of course, I didn't expect a single person to be here who wasn't interested in absolute, total translation as quickly as possible. And so I'm going to speak to those who are interested in transition, totally, now, tomorrow, as quickly as possible. We are the ones for whom the Lazarus experience happened. It was a teaching to us. We may be separated from the appearance by the appearance of time, but it happened 5 seconds ago as far as we're concerned. A man stepped out of a tomb. A man who was dead walked to prove that he wasn't dead. He never died. Lazarus never died. As Jesus said, Lazarus sleepeth. And when he was awakened from that sleep, called death, by the Christ within, he walked out in that other form. Because what had awakened in him was the life of God. If we're studying transition, we are doing it because we feel that it is possible for the life of God in us to animate our being and not the world mind. Because we feel it's possible to step out of the control of the world mind into that power of God which then animates our being. And when that happens, we are no longer material, we are no longer mortal, we are no longer human, as Lazarus was no longer material, mortal, or human. Now that takes all that we can give it. It's not done during a coffee break. It takes 24 hours of every day to live it, to breathe the truth, to know the truth, to practice the truth. Transition is not a game. It's a way of life. And the purpose of your life has always been the same. To achieve the realization of the eternal life of God. That is the purpose, and the fulfillment of it is your eternal life. While we are trying to fulfill that promise and that purpose, we are already that which we are trying to fulfill. And to dispel the clouds of mortal thought which make us think we are not eternal life, is the way you go about finding who you are. Now it seems that whatever truth you know that enables you to get clarification of how to use your Christ mind always will have a bearing on your ability to realize the presence of your eternal life. But there are so many opportunities during the day to practice the truth. And each time you practice the truth, your Christ mind is becoming more active in you, and therefore you're becoming stronger that way. You may say, well, I only have 5 years left on this plane, or maybe 10. I wonder if there's time enough. You needn't wonder. Spirit can crowd into 5 minutes what humans may need 30 years to do. Spirit doesn't see a time limitation. You don't have to think you're getting along in years and therefore you won't have the time to do it. Jesus had that out with Nicodemus, if you remember. We are being reborn to eternal life. And tonight is just another opportunity to realize that the eternal life I'm being reborn to, I already am. I've got to come back to that meditation. We've got to see the fullness of what we're saying. You and you and you, wherever you are in consciousness, must abandon all human thought at this moment and turn your consciousness to your eternal life. We want to dwell there until we reach a state of realization that will be unforgettable. No matter what happens to my form, my eternal life goes on. Nothing can ever put an end to it. Nothing. I am confident that I will always be that eternal life. Eternal life contains within itself the power to maintain its perfection. It will always be perfect as the Father. It is now in a state of perfection and needs no improvement because nothing can be improved in my perfection. eternal life is the life of every individual on the face of this earth. Wherever there is the appearance of a problem in any part of this universe, my perfect eternal life is right there, where the problem appears. If there's a disaster and people are suffering, my eternal life is right there, not the disaster. There is no opposite where my eternal life is. My realization of that can produce sensational results. Wherever there is a germ, my eternal life is. And it is invulnerable to germs. And there is no other life on the face of this earth. The power of my eternal life covers this universe. You'll find it on every planet, in every galaxy. And they are all right here. Because wherever my eternal life is here. And wherever my eternal life is now. In the here-ness and now-ness of my eternal life, all infinity is where I stand. It's important that you put these words into practice. It's important that you dwell with them in meditation. It's important that you test them and prove them. For as you prove them, you will prove the nature of your eternal life as the nature of all life on this planet and on every other planet. And as you prove your eternal life, you will be Christed. Clearly the will of the Father that you realize your eternal life. And because obeying the will of the Father is the way the Son lives, we must attain eternal life. We cannot violate the Father's will. We can't say, I don't want to. That I that doesn't want to is non-existent. That's the illusion talking back to the source. The attainment of eternal life is the entire purpose of your earth initiation. Some of you are going to be almost amazed to discover that the powers of that eternal life within you are really active. It's almost going to seem like, how have I lived so long without realizing this? And especially if you put them principles to practice with an intensity. The feeling that I cannot be defeated. Now, what time is it in your eternal life? There's only one time, isn't there? One time alone. Has nothing to do with the clock. Has nothing to do with hours, minutes, or even centuries. The only time is God time, right? And God time is always now. Everything in reality is now. In your eternal life, you're in all reality now. You are the light of the world. And you've been hiding it, afraid to express the fullness of your being. But the Father says, I have given you myself. All that I am, you are. I will be with thee always. The Son says to the Father, I accept. He who does not accept refuses to be the Son. But if you continue in my word, you will bear fruit richly. Although we've been promised eternal life, we don't realize that we've already been given that promise in reality. We simply haven't picked it up and exercised. I am eternal life now. Eternal life all over this universe, because my eternal life has no place where it is not. You can't stop it anywhere. It doesn't stop at the Pacific Ocean or the Atlantic. It doesn't stop at the 21st century. It doesn't stop going backwards to the 12th century. All life in eternity is your life. because it can never be separated from itself. So we are no longer really under the impression that we are mortal or material. We are the eternal life, which has no boundaries. And when you act out of character, that's when the karma comes and establishes its foothold in your consciousness. And when you act in character, every promise in the Bible comes true. Now, those of us who follow this will find the power. We may find that we're aware of some kind of an interchange. We may find that we're aware, as Joel was, of the fact that he had changed sufficiently that he was ready for anything. It won't happen that quickly. You're going to have to work for it. And the point is for it to happen before the time comes for a change to be made in whether or not you reincarnate or make the transition. And this has all been predicated on the fact that we can make the transition rather than reincarnate. I would hope that henceforth your awareness of being eternal life will be high in your consciousness, and you will know that your eternal life is a composite of certain divine qualities which are always functioning, always maintaining their perfection. And that whatever you see that denies the perfection of who you are is something that can be overcome by carefully returning to the consciousness of being divine life, eternal life, omnipresent spirit, omnipresent perfection, the omnipresent power of that spirit, and remembering always that divine life is never embodied in a form of flesh. You'll forget it many times. In fact, you probably would prefer it many times to be that form of flesh. But the Father's will is that you forsake the form of flesh and that you accept the form of spirit. That you give up your life, your belief in the flesh, that you accept the illusion of the flesh, that you refuse to live inside an illusion because it can't be done, and that you begin in a small way to be that little mustard seed, accepting the truth of being, letting that seed grow into a mustard tree. Until your consciousness is so filled with the spiritual reality of the universe you live in and of the inhabitants of it, though they appear mortal to others, that your expression is on a different level than those who surround you. That before you ask, things are happening. That in you the Father's qualities are being made manifest. That grace for you is not a word, but a way of life. And your Easter is your new consciousness of who you are, who your neighbors are around the world. We'll be still now. Thanks for a lovely silence and a lovely evening. See you at 8 o'clock in the morning or 8:30 for class.